Thank you. Good morning. Appreciate everybody coming back on this beautiful sunshine, 80-degree weather day. Sorry, that was 2 weeks ago. Anyway, welcome to the service, and we appreciate you getting up and getting your cars heated up and the ice scraped off to be with us in service. But it may be gloomy outside, but in here I think it's joyful and cheerful. So in that light, let's sing a great song about being lifted up. In the Heavenly Highway Songs, the Blue Book, as we call it, Love Lifted Me, 223. Sounding good this morning. Turn back a few pages to get another one of the old hymns we used to sing. 214.
Thank you.
you.
Thank you, Ms. Rachel. Good morning, everybody. We're glad to see each and every one up here, out this morning. Good to see our visitors with us today. We're thankful that you've made yourself able to be with us today, and we're just thankful that you've come out to be with us here at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. We are glad that you have come out. I missed you last week. Last week, because of the weather, we canceled our services. We still came in here and did a Facebook Live service for everybody that could get on. And we were blessed with that. And still had, I guess, about 20-some-odd people that still came in and showed up here last Sunday. And I've had a few tell me today they would have come if they'd known about it in time. But nevertheless, we had a good time in the Lord last week, and I missed you, and I'm glad you're back today. However, due to the weather again, we are down again as far as our numbers are concerned. We usually have about 20 to 30 more people, but I'm satisfied there's many that are thinking about slick roads, and they were slick earlier, and maybe they're clearing on up right now, and we won't have to worry about it as we head back to our respective homes. But the idea is we came out to worship the Lord today, and I hope that's what you will try your best to do today in this service, is try to worship the Lord today and try to do in this day what we need to do for Him. Let's do keep that in mind. Because of the services being canceled last week, we will be having our business meeting after our service today. And we'll just remind everybody of that. We want to keep everybody informed. And we've got a little bit of business to take care of today. And so we'll keep that in mind. Now is the time for worship today in this service. And as we always do, we do our children's church, and we'll call on Brother Sam. He takes care of that for us. And kids, come on over to this side here, please. All the kids, please.
Good, good. Small but very quality crowd today, huh? Very good. Nothing wrong with that. How's everybody? Good? You go play in the snow after a while? May not be enough, right? Hello? Is anybody there? I appreciate you. I know y'all are getting tired of this, but we're getting right down to the end of it, okay? I think we got one more lesson on this. And then maybe after that, we'll come and do one kind of summary for you so you'll remember it. Hope you get a lot of mileage out of this. Okay, so we've hooked the oxen up, we've put the yoke on them, we've plowed, we've planted, we've got all the seeds in the ground. Maybe we've watered it a little bit. Now what? What happens now? Now we wait for it to grow. Do you think the man there that's plowing, can he make those seeds germinate? Can he make them do that? The answer is no, he can't. He can only rely on what he knows is nature for that stuff to happen, okay? And so do you know what germinate is? When you put a seed in the ground, it has to have moisture, it has to have warmth, it has to have the right nutrients, and next thing you know, there's something really special happens inside that seed, and it puts out a sprout, and it goes out, and it gauges the soil, and part of it, roots go into the ground deeper. Some of it comes up out of the ground. Have you ever seen a little plant sprout? Come out and it'll have two little leaves, and next thing you know, it'll grow on up. And if you're like me, you can't wait till it gets sweet corn down in June, you know, to have something to eat. But all of that has to come from nature. Man has no control over that, okay? And so when he puts it out there, if he's done the work right and he's done what he's needed to do, then he's got to rely on nature. And that I'm sure that farmer knows that he didn't make the ground there. Who made the ground? Say it louder. God made the ground. The plant also has to have water to eat. Who made the water? God made the water. That's right. And so, you know, sometimes we have piers where there's not much rain and not much water. We have to go down into a well and irrigate it and put it on the plants. And you might say, well, man did that, but he still had to get water that God made, okay? So we have to understand that all of that has to be done. Okay, now with that in mind, when the work here is being done, and Brother Ricky preaches his best, when the teachers have done their work, then the seed that is produced, the word of God that goes forth, it's going to get in our hearts. And whatever good is done, you know, God has to be in it. God has to do it. And our verse comes from a particular chapter there in the 1 Corinthians, that we can only do so much. We can't bring salvation. We can't make people happy. That's the Holy Spirit. But there was a church over there that Paul had started, and he started the church, and then another fellow came along by the name of Apollos. He was the next pastor. But in the end, he had to give honor and glory to God. And this is going to be our verse. 1 Corinthians 3:5. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, so the man can do all he wants right here, but it's up to the nature to take over and for that plant to produce. It's up to us to trust in God that our works will be fruitful, that people will be saved, that people will hear the gospel, that people will be blessed, okay? And so we got to rely on God, okay? And we got that. Are we clear on that? Let's stand up. Boy, y'all been like a lifeless crowd this morning. I don't know if y'all didn't eat Wheaties or what, but I love you. You've been a great class on this. Okay, say this after me. 1 Corinthians? Say it a little bit louder. 1 Corinthians? 3:5. I have planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. Are we done? Yeah, we're done. Thank you. All right, we're done.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, kids. I'll be glad when this weather gets better and we get all of our group back, myself. And we appreciate everybody coming up and taking part. We want to move right along with our service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? We had several during Sunday school. Brother Stewart's and them's son-in-law, we need to remember them in our prayers. Brother Nathan, my brother and sister-in-law and their son. My brother and his son are in the hospital, both for different things. But Paul's brother is not doing well, so remember them. And his wife is trying to take care of him. She's got her own issues. So I asked you to pray for them. Paul requested that. And I'll go ahead and just mention Paula, too. A lot of you know that my wife Paula is going to have hip replacement here in a few weeks, and so I'm going to ask you to pray for her. I told somebody this morning there's a stubborn part of her that doesn't want to give up the fact that she can't do some things right now, and so she's overdone it, and she's not able to be with us today, and she wanted to be. And so you know that about her, so remember her in your prayers today and in the coming weeks. And you'll probably need to pray for me as I'll be nursemaid too. So she'll be a good patient, I'm sure. So y'all be prayerful for us all, and let's pray that the Lord will bless. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Let's pray for those that are unsaved in our midst. We need to pray for them, and we just need to pray that the Lord will convict them, that he'll show them their sin, that they'll recognize it, and the only way that they're going to get saved is first that they recognize their sin. And so let's be prayerful for them on that part. It's good to have everybody with us today. Anybody got a prayer request before I go to prayer? Yes, yes. Let's do remember Brother Nathan's mother-in-law, too. Somebody else? Yeah, just don't forget Miss Carol. She's having surgery this week, too. Somebody else? A lot of things going on right now, isn't it? If it's not cancer, it's one pain or sorrow or something like that, and sickness. So let's be prayerful one for another, that we can all come together and be what we need to be. Anybody else? We'll call on one to start our prayer, as we always do. Good to have our preacher brethren with us. Brother Ben, would you start our prayer, please? Everybody pray, though, please.
We'll do number 44, Victory in Jesus, 44.
Thank you.
For our last song, we'll do an old song, number 37. It says, heaven will surely be worth it all. I know we read about the hard times that Abraham and Moses and some of them had. You could ask them right now, is it worth it? You better believe it is. That's the only thing that matters, is being saved and going to heaven. That's what matters. It matters what we do in our life. You young people, I hope you go on to aspire to do great things. But unless you're saved, if you get down to the end, none of what you have done would matter. Right. Be prepared to meet God. Heaven will surely be worth it all.
Truly something that we all look forward to is the day when we go to heaven. It's kind of like the boy said, though, I'm not ready to get on the bus and go right now. Me personally, I am. I'd be glad to go any time that the Lord sees fit for me to go. But most of us look at it as if, I want to see my grandkids or my kids or this or that. But heaven's going to be worth it. Everything that we've gone through in this life is going to be worth it, isn't it? Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? Bless you, Brother Stewart. Good words there for us today. Appreciate each and every one that does do for the Lord in our church. And it's not serving me, it's serving the Lord. A lot of times we are serving one another, but we are serving the Lord in the same thing, same time. So let's keep that in mind. Appreciate this. Let's do remember, you are invited to our Sunday school too. Anybody else got a word on your heart? Let's do remember all the prayer requests that were made. Let's be prayerful one for another. And let's pray that the Lord will bless today in this service, and that it'll be what He wants it to be. Does anybody have anything else on your heart? If not, turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John. 1 John and the 3rd chapter is where we're going to take our reading lesson from. There's many good thoughts in the book of 1 John. You can talk about love. You can talk about Jesus. And you can talk about many, many good things. Today we're going to look at 1 John and we're going to read the first 5 verses of the 3rd chapter. And we ask that you pray for us today, that this message will come out like He wants it to. That's what I want it to be. It's not what I want, but what God wants it to be. So 1 John, starting with verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear... we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Let me stop for just a moment. One of the first things that I was taught as a young preacher was always look at the scriptures. Don't look at one verse. You look first at what's in front of it and what's in back of it, and always look to see who He's talking to. So in these first 2 verses, I think you can kind of assume by what He says that He is talking to saved people. And that's what I want you to get out today. Get out of this. I want you to understand that He is talking to us as saved individuals. Now in verse 3 He says, "Now, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin." That's reading the first 5 verses of the book, 3rd chapter of 1 John. In this reading lesson today, as I said, you see that it is speaking about how that He is talking to us as saved individuals. But He starts talking about sin. Now, one of the drawbacks of this message is today it's going to bring to mind what many people say about us as old-time Baptists. Well, you old-time Baptists, you believe in that once saved, always saved stuff. And if I believe that, I just go ahead and do whatever I wanted. Well, I'm going to call to your attention again how that I preached here probably a few months ago now, how that I preached about the Nicolaitans, and the thought was in their thinking was that they could go and live just ever how they wanted to, and that was okay. That was, if you remember back in the book of Revelation, what it says, "And that doctrine I hate," is what Jesus said. Now, today we're going to be talking about purifying ourselves. We're going to talk about the sins that we commit and the remedy for those sins that we commit. I do believe it is important for us as God's people to live as close to God as we possibly can. However, as long as we are in this flesh, we are not going to live sinless. The Bible over here in the first chapter of 1 John, John writes, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That is very true. There's none of us without sin, even after that we have been saved. There's people out there that actually believe that once they have been saved, they never sin again. They live in a lot better life than I do, is the best way I can put it. I don't live a perfect life. I wished I did. I wished I lived more close to God than I do. Last week's message was about walking with God. We talked about Enoch and how that he walked with God. We talked about Abraham and Noah, how they walked with God. And it is imperative for us as God's people that we walk with God. But I want you to understand something today. If you want to walk with God, it is necessary for you to purify yourself. Now, the Bible calls it to sanctify thyself, separate thyself. In other words, is what that means. To sanctify thyself and to make yourself holy. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And that is important for us today. And some of us are probably thinking within ourselves, I just don't think I can. Well, I was always said, my father-in-law was the main one that told me this, if you ever use the word can't, you can't. And basically, if you have that in your vocabulary, you won't, is what you will do. You'll use it as an excuse. And I don't want any one of us today to think within ourselves that just because I can't live perfect, that is going to give me a license to do whatever I want to do. I want you to realize today it's important for you to live a good life. It is important for you to live a pure life, as it said in here in this third verse. And every man that hath this hope. What hope was he talking about? Those first two verses where he talked about how that we were of his children. How that it says that it's going to talk about that we have a resurrection to look forward to and to look forward to his coming. So now we have this hope, but he says, we that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Talking about Jesus himself. Purifying is doing something to take out that which is wrong in our lives. Purifying ourselves is taking out, as the scripture calls it, as drudge that is taken out of the gold to make it more pure and more like it was supposed to be. In the idea here today, it is important for us to try to live as perfectly as we possibly can. Now, I want to say here today in this verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For the sin is the transgression of the law. Many people today will say, well, we don't live by the Old Testament. We don't live by the laws of Moses. And I agree to a certain extent. That law was meant for the children of Israel to live their lives by. But the laws of God are good for us to take on in our lives, especially the commandments of God, and I'll say especially the Ten Commandments of God, are good for us to live by. We should live by them. It is the law of God that we love the Lord thy God, our God, with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our souls. It is important for us to do that. But the other commandments are just as important for us in this day. How many of us in this past week have told a lie? How many of us have looked upon a woman or a man to lust after them? How many of us has looked at maybe a car, a house, or something like that and coveted it after it? How many of us have broken one of these commandments? In the book of James, it says, if you have broken one, you have the same as broken them all, is what he said in the scriptures there. Now, I want to go on for this talking about sin today. I want us to remember that the transgression of the law is sin. What is the law of God? First of all, I'm going to put it in these terms. To obey the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. Obeying the Lord. We have a term that we use many times in our churches. There's two types of sin. There is the sin of commission. That's one of those sins where we've told a lie, or we've committed adultery, or we've done something like that, that we have committed a sin. But there is a sin of omission, and the sin of omission is the sin that when we know to do good and we do it not, to him, that is sin. Him is God. To God, that is sin in our lives. Now, I want to give you some examples of this type of sin. First of all, I want to go look at King Saul. Now, many people in their study, they say, well, Saul was never saved. Some says he was. Now, I want you to look at some scriptures here today, and I'm not going to argue the point, but I want you to understand he was chosen of God to be the king of Israel, the very first king of Israel. Now, he was a man that was looked to be the part. I'll say it that way. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a man that looked strong in his efforts. And when God had Samuel to anoint him to be king, he did the part of a king, is what he did. But he had his shortcomings, is what I'll call it. He had his times when that he was just a little bit afraid to do what God would have him to do. You know, one time God had told him to go against the Philistine army, and he was afraid to go up against him, and his son went up against him by himself with his armor barrier and defeated them all. And Saul had made the statement, if anybody disobeys me, you know what? They was going to die. Well, Saul didn't keep his promise because it was his son, and because that the people considered him as a hero. It was proper. He did what God wanted him to do. But Saul was afraid. There's many times today in the sin of commission, or of omission, I should say, it's because that we are afraid. We're afraid to serve God. We're afraid what this person over here might say, or that person over there might say. I heard a little thing the other day talking about where people sat in the church. And I won't go through the whole thing because I don't remember it. But the last part of it said the people that sat on the back row, no offense, Brother Adam, were the ones that looks up to the front and sees the kids that are talking or making noise, and they're talking about them after church. Maybe they're talking about the others that are sitting there and doing for God, and they're saying they shouldn't take that place. Well, the idea comes back to the very fact God has instructed us to obey the Lord, and we are to follow the Lord is what we're supposed to do, right? When Saul came out in that day, later on, God, by the prophet Samuel, said, Saul, you need to go and you destroy this nation. I want you to destroy them completely is what I want you to do. Don't you save men, women, children? Don't you save the cattle or the sheep or anything? You destroy them utterly. Now, a lot of people would say, and I heard this statement the other day, and I thought it was a good statement. I never really thought of it in this way. And they say, well, God was being cruel to that nation by having all the children to be destroyed in that way. But God actually had mercy on all those that didn't know their right hand from their left, and they went on into heaven, didn't they? Well, the thing here is that God told him to do something, and he didn't do it. You know what was the first thing he did? He listened to the people. He listened to the people, and they said, all this good stock here, we can take that back and we can sacrifice it to God, is what he said. We can sacrifice this for God's cause, is what we can do. I guess they kind of thought they would save their own stock, maybe, is what they had in mind. And then he left their king alive. And not only him, but others also that were of that nation. And they were a thorn in their side for years to come. But Saul, in that moment in time, when Samuel came to where they was at, you know what the scripture said about it? Samuel made a statement to King Saul. And Samuel said in the verse 22 of chapter 15, he said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. My goodness, they had in mind they was going to make a great big sacrifice out of that which God had cursed and said must die. They was going to make a sacrifice to that. Many times today, we as people say, well, we're going to make a sacrifice today, and we're going to do this for God, and it's not what God wants. We talk about that a lot of times, don't we? But the fact of the matter is, if God's not in it, we better leave it alone. If we're going to try to go to places to try to worship, and it's not a place of worship, of true worship, we better leave it alone is what we better do. Now listen to what he says in verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion? Was that what Saul was doing? Oh my goodness, we as individuals today, we rebel against God pretty regular, don't we? When God puts it upon us to do his work or to serve him, what do we do? Lord, I don't think I can do that. Lord, there's no way that I would be able to stand up before people. Lord, there's no way that I can sing before people. Lord, there's no way that I can tell somebody about Jesus. You know what that is? That's rebellion. And when he said it's like witchcraft, he was meaning it's of the devil, in other words. It's something just like the devil wants, and that's who gives you the thoughts that says, I can't, or I won't, or I will not do those things. That's where those thoughts come from. It is as rebellion, but also notice he says, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness? How many of you are going to tell on me for saying that about Paul a while ago? The idea that I want you to think about is are we stubborn sometimes with God? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, right? But if we are so stubborn in our ways, if we're so stubborn about, oh Lord, I will not do this. I've heard many people over the years, even sinners is the way I'll say it, and we kind of think about them. Oh, if they just knew what they could find, sinners would say, hey, there's no way I'm going up to that altar to pray. There's no way that anybody's going to see me cry. The day before that I got saved, there was a little boy walked up to me. I'd been on the altar and I had been pouring my heart out to the Lord. And there was a little boy, he come up to me about here. And he come up there and he walked up to me. He said, you was crying. You know what I said? No, I wasn't. That was my stubbornness, my manly pride is what that was. But it is as idolatry. If somebody told you to take an idol and worship it, you'd say, no, I wouldn't do that. But yet we are stubborn against God. We are stubborn in that way. He said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king, is what Samuel told him. And I'll have you to look at 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, to finish up this story. And because I want you to recognize something today. Most of the time we think about our sin being ongoing. Well, God, forgive me of my sins. I've been talking to him about my sins, and I've asked for forgiveness for them. And I want you to understand something. Saul sought forgiveness. He went to Samuel, and he said, Samuel, just come with me and sacrifice with me. But God had already made a decree. Your kingdom's going away from you. That wasn't the end of his sin. Now, in this 11th chapter, I want you to see a verdict that comes down upon Saul. What will be your sentence for sin? Hey, do you remember what Paul said? The penalty of sin is what? Wait a minute. God wouldn't kill me for that, would he? Would he? For disobeying him? Would God kill me? How many of you has ever heard a preacher that has made this statement? The Lord told me if I didn't acknowledge my calling to preach, that he's going to take my family. You ever heard one of them say that? Have you ever heard somebody else say something to that general order because they were caught up in sin? There's been men that have committed sins, and the Lord let them know. And I'm talking about saved individuals that have committed sins in their families, and the Lord told them, he said, I'm going to take your family. Oh, the Lord, he loves us too much. He wouldn't do that, would he? Go down and look at verse 13 of the 10th chapter of 1 Chronicles. So Saul died for his transgressions. Whoa, wait a minute. He died for them? Which he committed against the Lord. Now, one of the verses that I didn't bring out last week is when David prayed to the Lord for forgiveness for his sin with Bathsheba, you know what he said? Lord, I acknowledge my sin. Against thee and against thee only have I sinned. Against thee? Well, Lord, I just told a little white lie. That was against him. Well, Lord, I just looked at that woman. Well, Lord, I didn't hurt nobody. You sinned against him. So Saul died in his transgressions, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord. Remember what it said? The Lord told him to go and do what I said, and he didn't do it. Which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Now what Saul did was, is when he had gotten so cold and away from God, he didn't follow the Lord. He went to the devil or one of his servants, and he asked him, Lord, what must I do here? I want you to think about this now. It's important for us to get in mind what God has in place here. Okay, I said I was going to give you a remedy. Go to 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. King Solomon was the wisest man that ever was, wasn't he? That's what the scripture tells us. And in his wisdom, he had much knowledge. Now, he was not a perfect man. We find that later on in his life. But in his early years as king, he was following the Lord, and he was being blessed of God to a great, great degree. He had built the temple of God, and he was dedicating it in that day. And he had sacrificed many great sacrifices for the Lord to dedicate the temple. And he had many good words in his talk to the people in that day. But in verse 46 of this 8th chapter, I want you to start reading with us here. He said, if they sin, and this is their remedy today. If you've been caught sinning, I dare say every one of us did this week, one way or another. It might have been a little sin. It might have been a big sin. It might have been something that nobody else knew about. It might have been something that just maybe you and one other person knows about it. But the idea I want you to get in mind, your sins will find you out. That's the Bible. Be sure is what the Lord said. Your sins will find you out. He says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. You know, Paul, somebody said it before Paul did, didn't he? And thou be angry with them, meaning God, and deliver them to the enemy. Who is the enemy? In that day for the Israelite people, it was the Philistines, the Egyptians, it was the Assyrians, and all of them, all of these ungodly people. In your case today, your enemy is out there, out there. All these enemies out here, the devil is your greatest enemy, and he is trying to bring you down, is what he's trying to do. And you have been delivered to the enemy. I want to call to your mind, how many of you remember the story of the prodigal son? No, he got his inheritance. He went off. He spent it all. And where was he? He was starving to death in a hog pen. That was his enemy. He was caught up in sin, and it was dragging him down. He said, so that they carry them away captive unto a land of the enemies, far or near. Far or near. Sometimes you don't have to go past your house front door to be in the house of the enemy. Maybe in your bedroom or bathroom door. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and repent and make supplication. What did that prodigal son do? He was there in the hog pen, and he said, how much more do my father's servants have? I will go unto my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee and against heaven. Let me just be as one of thy hired servants. That's what he's saying right here. It's important for us to remember that when we commit a sin, when we commit a sin, you don't have to come confess it to me. God may require it. I don't think he will. I had a man come to me here a while back. Preacher, I need to make a confession. I thought, I'm not a priest. The one you need to take your sin to is God. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sin. Let me give you a verse back out of 1 John again. Let me go over there right quick. Look at 2nd chapter and 1st verse. My little children, these, excuse me. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Now that's the important thing, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We've got somebody that stands between us. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's the one that we need to go to. He is the one that we need to apologize to. He is the one that we need to pour out our hearts to. I tell you what, if I've done you wrong, and I know it, I'm going to try my best to come to you and apologize to you. Remember what I said? We sinned against the Father. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, that dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Verse 50 of 1 Kings 8 chapter. And forgive thy people, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And then give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. Our sin today, it's ever before us, isn't it? I'm going to have a quick joke for you, and then I'm going to get ready to quit. This is the way that our sin usually is in our life. Man said that a preacher was walking through an area and he saw his young boy there. And he was looking or staring at a pretty young girl. And he said, the preacher told the boy, he said, boy, if you keep looking at them girls that way, you're going to go blind. The next time the preacher saw him, he was walking like this. He said, son, what are you doing? He said, I thought I'd take a chance. I guess he thought one eye wouldn't hurt. Is that not the way we look at sin today? A few things I want you to remember. One thing, when you sin, no matter how big it is, the Bible does call them little sins. I ain't figured out which one's little yet, though. Even if it's one of those little sins, you're sinning against the Father. It doesn't matter which one it is. The other thing is, we're all guilty. You're in the same boat with the rest of us. But don't use it as an excuse. The other thing that I do want you to remember, there is forgiveness in the Lord. The Bible says he'll put our sins to the deepest depths of the ocean. He puts them completely out of his sight. But it's important for us to go to him and him alone. Sometimes it may require us going to them, the ones we sinned against. But let's do what God would have us do. Brother Sam, that's our message today. While we stand and sing, Be pure. Purify yourselves is what the scripture said. Purify yourselves before an almighty God that you may serve him while we sing. Let's all stand.
And 209. 209.